Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Friday. Maybe we'll have breaking NFL quarterback news today as well, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. It's a sweater Friday, and Alex Curry is now joining me, filling in for Joy Taylor, who is back Monday. I felt like I wanted to. It's winter, and even though we're in Los Angeles, I felt like, you know what, I got a little winter thing going on now for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to go with it.
It looks good. And it's cold everywhere else, so it's kind of like you're showing a little compassion for everywhere else in the world right now.
By the way, our thoughts and prayers to people around the country. These stories, my wife and I last night looking at the stuff in Texas.
It's heartbreaking.
Oh, my God, it's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking.
So we're thinking about you. It's great to have you on a Friday. So yesterday, Carson Wentz got traded right before the show. And the this morning, another story came out. God, I have never seen in my life two franchises that regularly go to the playoffs, the Eagles and the Texans, capsize in 2-3 months. The Texans literally are taking on water and they don't have any life preservers. And Philadelphia this morning, they get worked in that trade with Carson Wentz. And the story out today, they're not going to give the quarterback job to Jalen Hurts. He's going to have to earn it. Oh, boy. So you hire a head coach, young kid, Nick Sirianni, who butchered his press conference, appeared incredibly nervous, unproven, going into a vicious, verbal, intense city with a quarterback competition. I just don't remember. I don't remember a time when two, like, winning franchises, Philadelphia and Houston, have capsized in the offseason. And the offseason just started 2 weeks ago. And I was thinking about the Carson Wentz deal. Obviously, Carson Wentz wins yesterday. He gets a better O-line. He gets a better culture. He gets a better GM. He gets a much better now coach. He gets better weapons. Philadelphia's defense is fine, but I think he gets a little better, younger defense. Obviously, but the winner in this is also the NFL. And when you're a well-run business, and I've defended Roger Goodell for years, the media doesn't like the NFL as much because the NFL has power and the NFL doesn't need the media. The baseball in the NBA, they need the media. So what you'll find with the media is they talk way more NBA than actually there is interest in the NBA. And baseball, because of the newspapers and the box scores, have always had a great relationship with baseball. That's how I grew up. That's how everybody grew up. You go to the newspaper to get your box score. Not as much now, but certainly how many of us are 40 or 50, that's how we lived. But the NFL doesn't need the media. They don't need newspapers. They don't need me. They don't need the radio. And the media likes to feel needed, and the NFL doesn't need them. And for years and years, I always said this about Roger Goodell. I'm like, by and large, this is by far and away the best run league. They don't have nearly the issues of the lack of competition in the NBA. NBA kind of feels like coastal. Baseball, there's the rich, everybody else. But this Carson Wentz deal, this is why it's so great for the NFL. And the Matt Stafford deal for the Rams. The bottom third of teams in any sport don't matter. You're never judged by that. When Michael Jordan ran the NBA, the bottom third of the league was dreck. It was awful. It didn't matter. You don't put them on television. Your network partners and you are not putting them on television. So it didn't matter that the bottom third of the NBA during Jordan's era was awful. Same with Shaq and Kobe. It doesn't matter. If the top of your sport is good, where your best players are on your best teams, hopefully in like traditional powers, Green Bay. You want Green Bay to be good in the NFL. You want Pittsburgh to be good. You want the Celtics, Lakers to be good. Miami Heat in the NBA. These are really good, well-run franchises. But Carson Wentz was wasting his talent. What you don't want is Matt Stafford for a decade wasting his talent with the dysfunctional Lions. What you don't want is Mike Trout with the Angels. You want Mike Trout with the Dodgers. I mean, Mookie Betts is an amazing story. Like, I'm a casual baseball fan. I love the postseason. I love the postseason. I'll watch a postseason baseball game over a Thursday night NFL game. I love baseball postseason. But Mookie Betts goes to the Dodgers. It's the first time in 10 years. I can't wait for the season to start. He had so much energy and so much juice. It was nothing against being in Boston, but they've been kind of last couple of years rebuilding. You want your stars in the right places. So right now, Stafford to the Rams, from the bottom of the league to one of the better organizations, and Carson Wentz escaping the dysfunction and going to a top six or seven roster, huge win. Now, both of those are in the Super Bowl hunt. Right now, this morning in the NFL, I looked it up. Half the NFL is 30-1 or better odds to win the Super Bowl. Half the league, 8 NBA teams are. You want your stars to avoid dysfunction. Anthony Davis with the Pelicans did nothing for the league. Anthony Davis with LeBron, now we've got a story. Now we've got a dynasty. Bradley Beal for the Wizards is awful for the NBA. He's an unbelievable kid and an unbelievable talent, wasting away in Washington. You put him on the Celtics tomorrow. You put him on, you know, Rockets. That's how league, because think about the NFL. The games that matter for the NFL is the 4 o'clock game on CBS and the 4 o'clock game on Fox. Sunday night football on NBC, Monday night football on ESPN, and Thursday night games, they stand alone. They matter. Where you can bury teams is the 1 o'clock Eastern window on Sunday. You can put the Jaguars on there for years. They disappear into the ether. There are 7-8 games. Nobody watches them. You only put them in like 7% of the country. Leagues hide. The NFL hides its bad teams. But it makes sure it gets its stars at 4, Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday. Get your stars. That was one of the deals when Fox got Thursday night. Fox went to the NFL and said, can we get better games? We'll promote the hell out of it. We're good with the NFL. You know we'll take care of it. You got to give us better games. And so suddenly, what did the NFL and Fox do? They gave them more divisional games. Ravens, Steelers, Packers, Bears. That's why Thursday Night Football with Fox has been better, because they gave us better games. Remember when Thursday Night Football used to be on the NFL Network and you get Jags, Titans, and they'd wear goofy uniforms? You're like, this is bad product. NFL finally figured it out. And so this is so good. Wentz goes from dysfunction and chaos to an incredible football culture. Huge win for the NFL. Now you got another Super Bowl team. Stafford goes, super talented, from the dysfunctional Lions to the Rams with other stars. So when I look at these moves with all these leagues, this has been a great, when did Stafford get traded? It's been a great 2 weeks for the NFL. Stars in the right places. Like Zion. I hope the Pelicans get it right. I really do. I do. I think they're well run. But if he's there 7 years and makes the playoffs once, that's bad for the league. You don't want Zion buried on a 500 basketball team. I mean, think about Kevin Garnett. He was a stat monster in Minnesota for years. He wasn't on television. Nobody taught. He was just a really good, you had to be a diehard NBA guy to follow it. Then he goes to the Celtics, and he becomes one of the three faces of the NBA, and everybody loves Kevin Garnett. Now he's on television. Now everybody, I mean, he was always a smart, interesting guy. Nobody knew about him. He was in Minnesota. It's like Death Valley of the NBA. He was this great player just wasting away. Then he goes to the Celtics. He's a top, I mean, we talk Kevin Garnett all the time. That's what sports needs, and that's where the NFL's hit two home runs in the last couple of weeks with Stafford and Wentz going. By the way, Deshaun Watson, just throw this out there, deserves better. Deshaun Watson needs to go to a winning organization. He's too talented now to be buried in Houston with that coach and that owner and that nonsense in the front office. So the NFL can really hit the lottery. If Deshaun Watson goes somewhere that's functional, you're going to have Stafford, Wentz, and Deshaun. Chaos to functional. Huge win. That'd be like three Bradley Beals going to the Celtics, Lakers, and Spurs. Huge wins for leagues. All right, now here's something I don't understand. So Stafford's off the market, and Wentz is off the market. So there's two guys left. There's the super talented Deshaun Watson. We all know he's great. But to get to Deshaun Watson, you got to give up massive picks and players. To get Sam Darnold, who is cheap, talented, hardworking, and only 23, you have to give up nothing. Because of the Wentz deal, it probably makes it easier to get Darnold. Because if Wentz only got what he got, Darnold's probably only going to get a second-round pick or a third-round. You have to give up nothing to get him, and he doesn't cost anything. Meaning if you get Darnold, you don't have to give up anything to get him. Here's two teams that if I was running the Bears or the Washington football team, I'd be on the phone this morning. Like, there's a lot of teams that want to upgrade quarterback. We know San Francisco isn't in love with Garoppolo, but Garoppolo does win games. We know Carolina doesn't see Teddy Bridgewater as a long-term guy, but he's a pretty darn good quarterback. We know Atlanta would eventually like to move off Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's going to get Hall of Fame votes. But there's two teams in this league. They have winning head coaches. They have great defenses. They were playoff teams. Washington and Chicago. You don't have a quarterback. What are you doing? Are you sitting around and waiting? And there's only two guys on the market left. Nobody's going to go big, in my opinion, except maybe New England, after Garoppolo because of his injuries. That's a really dangerous space to be in, to sign Jimmy for a long term. In Chicago and Washington, winning coach, great championship-level defense, playoff teams. You can get Sam Darnold for almost nothing. What are you waiting for? Mariota is a limited thrower and has injuries. Garoppolo, injuries. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, Washington, this division is yours if you can be competent at quarterback. Chicago, if you're competent at quarterback with that defense and you re-sign Allen Robinson, just upgrade your offensive line a little. You can challenge Green Bay. So I'm a little shocked. We heard the Carson Wentz rumblings and the Matt Stafford rumblings for 4 or 5 days before they had. We heard that Stafford wanted out. We heard that Carson Wentz was going to get traded. There's no new news on Sam Darnold, and I don't get it. I mean, I understand if you want to go big game hunting for Deshaun Watson, like Carolina. But Chicago and Washington now are winning teams, but they're not teams that can give up the farm for Deshaun because they still have too many needs. So you could get Deshaun in Washington or Chicago, but you're mortgaging your future, and you're not good enough teams to give up a ton, get Deshaun, and win. But they're both good enough to get Sam Darnold, not give up anything, bolster, Washington could bolster their offensive weaponry. Chicago definitely needs another receiver back and maybe another tackle. So I just look at Washington and Chicago and I'm like, you guys have winning records, playoff teams, great defenses, momentum. Get on it. Stafford's off the market. Wentz is off the market. And neither the Bears or the Washington football team, in my opinion, have the pieces or the ability to get Deshaun. They've got holes they've got to solve, so they can't be giving up 7, 8, 9 draft picks. By the way, yesterday, Lance Briggs, legendary Bear Pro Bowler, his thoughts on Darnold and doing something at quarterback.
We need something different in Chicago because what we've had isn't working. Even a Sam Darnold at the right price can give some sort of new hope. And it's really going to have to come from a veteran quarterback because there's a lot that needs to be shored up on this offense. There's guys that need to be re-signed. The offensive line needs to be bolstered. You got to be able to protect these guys if you're going to bring them in as well.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I think John Gruden, when I used to work at the other place, was the single most talented former player or former coach on the air. I thought he was a great broadcaster. A lot of the media critics, and what do they know? They've never worked in TV. John Gruden's great on television. He's a home run. The NFL draft coverage for ESPN has never been as good since Gruden left. That's not a shot at the people on it. They're very capable. Monday Night Football, never been as good since Gruden left. His quarterback camp was much watched. Gruden is a TV star. He's great. Tomorrow, if Fox came to me tomorrow and one of our big stars retired and they say, who would you do? I'd be like, Gruden. Gruden's great on television. And the media critics are idiots if they don't get it. He is juice. He is energy. He's Chucky. He's goofy. He's opinions. He's great on television. But I've always said the coaching thing, he's likable. Like Pete Carroll. When we like somebody, we defend him. He's won 51% of his games. Mike McCarthy's won 60%. He has 5 playoff wins. McCarthy's got double that. But we don't like Mike McCarthy. He looks like a cab driver from Chicago. He's a regular guy. He's not very funny behind a mic. He's kind of uncomfortable, and Gruden's unbelievably comfortable. So Gruden always gets a pass with the Raiders. I saw this story. Derek Carr, you want to know who inquired about him? Who's the best young GM in the NFL? A lot of people think it's Chris Ballard of the Colts. Story out today, Ballard wanted Derek Carr. And the Raiders said, no, not Derek Carr. And this cracks me up. Derek Carr always gets blamed for everything with the Raiders. So Chicago and the Raiders both went 8-8. But Chicago's quarterbacks kept them at 8-8. Derek Carr got the Raiders to 8-8. Is anybody paying attention to Derek Carr the last 2 years? He's completed 70% of his throws. He's got 48 touchdowns, 17 picks, and a passer rating over 100. He's the glue to the organization. What do you mean trade him? First of all, John Gruden's reputation as a coach is winner. His reality is his last 9 years coaching, he's got no playoff wins. He's the only coach in the NFL that's had 3 straight losing years, missed the playoffs 3 straight years, still has a job. He's the only one in the league. That's it. 3 years, no playoffs, still employed. He's the only one. And I like him. And I find him unbelievably likable. He walks into a room and he steals it. He sucks all the oxygen out of it. I was in a room in New York years ago. He just is Chucky. He's big and he's verbal and he's funny and he's interesting and he's passionate. And he was always underrated as a television personality. He's great. Listen, I like Bill Parcells. There are a lot of guys. Joe Montana. There are a lot of guys that are great. They're not great on television. Gruden is great on TV. But this idea that Carr's getting in the way of Oakland. There's a million questions in Oakland. They have one player on the entire roster that had more than 3 sacks last year, Max Crosby, Vegas Raiders. They have one guy in the whole roster with more than 3 sacks. Their last 2 top picks have been busts. Henry Ruggs, wide receiver, is a bust. He was their 4th leading receiver. He was 21st in receptions among rookie receivers. He's fast and can't run routes. Okay, Cleveland Farrell, the Clemson kid, and I said it the day they drafted him, was a reach. He's got almost no sacks in 2 years. So I got questions about the GM. I got questions about the defense. I got questions about the roster. I got questions about Gruden. Derek Carr's the only thing I don't have questions about with the Raiders. So the fact that Chris Ballard came out and was like, I like that guy. He should. By the way, Pro Football Focus, Derek Carr, 10th highest graded quarterback. And that's, again, a guy that has to be in shootouts every week to win. The other thing about the Raiders, the last 2 years with Gruden, they've regressed badly after Thanksgiving. So I don't know what that that's about. I'm not in the rooms. But post-Thanksgiving, the last 2 years, the Raiders have been a mess. Does Gruden coach them too hard at practice? Do they work them too hard? Are they too intense early and they just melt at the end of the year? I don't know. I don't have the answer. But it's not a good trend. The best coaches in this league, the Belichick's teams get better after Thanksgiving. Gruden's Raiders last 2 years, post-Thanksgiving, die. Except Derek Carr. So I love this story. Finally, one of the sharp GMs is like, yeah, we like Derek Carr. He is the life preserver. There's a million questions with the Raiders. Carr's the only thing I don't question.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
In the last 20 years, the most meticulously planned, obsessive, detailed franchise, always ahead of the league, never behind it, has been New England. Suddenly, they have no plan at quarterback. According to a report, they had no interest in Carson Wentz. Okay, so Matt Stafford said no. Goff, no. Wentz, no. So we all kind of thought New England, Brady leaves, COVID year, they're going to rebuild. They're going to get their cap space. They're going to get picks. They have no plan. So they have no quarterback. They have no tight end. No functional number one or two receiver. No great pass rusher. Secondary deteriorating. No star running back. They have a good O-line. That position they've drafted well. But they won games one way last year. This is it. Bill confused young quarterbacks. Five of their seven wins were against young quarterbacks that Bill confused. Darnold twice, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray. That's what Bill does. Is Robert Kraft at least a little concerned about a coach who has a history of being petty and holding grudges, still pissed he had to get rid of Garoppolo? Is he a little concerned that of the six defensive coaches for the Patriots, three are Bill or his kids? They've got no plan at the most vital positions. The worst weapons in the league, in a league that's becoming more weapons-centric. You're not going to beat Kansas City with no weapons. You're not going to beat the Colts with no weapons. You're not going to beat the Rams and the Seahawks and the Packers with no weapons. What's going on? I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not. But if I'm Robert Kraft, and I know a coach who was ticked off when Garoppolo got moved, that's the only time Kraft has gone over Belichick's head. Just think about this. If Belichick tomorrow, they don't even have their GM anymore, Nick Caserio left. If Belichick left tomorrow, the defensive staff gone, Flores gone, Belichick gone, kids gone. No quarterback, no weapons. I'm not going to go X-Files here, maybe a little, but it is weird. I'm not going to say sabotage. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying somebody give me an answer here. They have no plan at quarterback in a quarterback league. They have the worst weapons in the league. Belichick now has more power. It's he and his kids on the defensive staff. They've got no plan. Something is just off. And I don't know what it is, and I'm not claiming to know. But I just want it known, if something crazy happens and Belichick retires, Uncle Colin, who hates conspiracy theories, at least threw a little something out there. I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't feel right. The temperature in the room is off. Something is not right. Hour two next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Eric Mangini and I just got the notes. I get little notes before the interview. I think we disagree on everything today, which is exactly the way I like it. I can teach him a thing or two about football, which is really what I'm his mentor. He's joining us live now. I'm sure he loves that. I'm sure he's giggling over that. So let's start with this. So I'm a believer, if you show me success three or four or five times doing something, it doesn't matter if you're a tax attorney, it doesn't matter if you're a landscaper, I think you're smart. So Frank Reich got the most efficient year ever out of Andrew Luck, the most efficient year ever out of Carson Wentz, and Philip Rivers had, on his last leg, had one of his top three most efficient seasons. And I look at Wentz and Reich and I think, I know he's broken, but I got a track record of Frank Reich working everywhere he goes. I think he figures out Wentz somehow, and I think there are coaches, you know them, there are these coaches that are just better. They just solve stuff. So I think Wentz and Indy's going to work. You are more of a skeptic.
I look at this situation and I think how broken Philadelphia must think he is. They're going to take the largest salary cap hit in the history of the NFL. They trade him away for what's very small compensation for a guy who was your starting quarterback and who you've paid that much money. You paid so much money and so many draft picks to acquire him in the first place. You fire your head coach. That's usually the fix for a young quarterback. You fire the head coach. You see if the new guy can come in and change things. You hire the offensive coordinator, Frank Reich's offensive coordinator. So I think he's staying, you know, because of that reason. And then you're still willing to trade him. So they just must feel like he can't be successful there. Okay. Now that being said, maybe a change of scenery will work. But this is a guy who's had an injury history, who gets sacked at a very high rate, who's had problems in the locker room, and who's coming off a really difficult year. There's a lot of things that he's going to have to do differently and do right to have a different outcome in Indy.
So I want to throw this. You used to coach the Jets. I want to throw this at you. So in the AFC East right now, you have Belichick, who's probably the best defensive coach in the history of the league. Sean McDermott, excellent defensive coach. Brian Flores appears to be doing a really nice job. And the Jets are going to get rid of Darnold and go with a rookie quarterback. I say to myself, I would rather just keep Darnold, trade that pick, and give Sam more weapons, because I think Sam's got a market. Chris Ballard was interested. I just look at the division and I think to myself, you're going to go with a rookie quarterback with those three defensive coaches? You're trying to climb a mountain. That's my perception. Or are you in the camp of, listen, you got to start over. It's not working with Darnold.
Well, I don't know if we agree or disagree on this point, because I heard you talking about Sam Darnold being traded and whether it's Chicago or Washington. And my thought process is, if you really feel like this young quarterback can actually improve and you have the asset in place at the most important position, it makes no sense for the Jets to trade him. And like I said, with the Philly situation, usually you change head coaches and you think that's going to help the quarterback that's there, and that it's not a quarterback issue, it's a coaching issue. So yeah, you're absolutely right. If you can keep him and you believe that he has the potential to improve on what he's done, you've got incredible draft capital. You've got incredible money for free agency. You can trade that pick and get even more draft capital. I think if you can possibly maintain him and feel like you can win, it's the best decision they can make.
All right, here's the disagreement part. So
we have a lot of those, Colin. We have a lot of those.
Okay, so I said before is that there's, you know, you always go on the internet or you read these in magazines. Like they say, the three or four signs somebody's having an affair. And it's always when they change their habits. Like people, we're all kind of creatures of habit. People start, they won't let you look at their phone. They're coming home later. They work out a lot. And it's like, oh, they're changing habits. So I'm supposed to believe the most detailed, precise, planned organization in the NFL for 20 years, New England. They don't have a quarterback. They have the worst skill people in the league. Their secondary is deteriorating. They don't have an elite pass rusher. Half of the defensive coaches are either Bill Belichick or his kids. I look at this organization, I'm like, okay, you have all the answers here. If I'm Robert Kraft this morning, they just lost their GM, so Bill has more personnel power, and I don't love him as a drafter. At some point, if I'm Robert Kraft, I'm like, I know you were successful, and I love you, Bill. You tell me what the plan is, because I don't understand. Apparently, they weren't interested in Wentz. Stafford said no thanks. At some point, the market's drying up, isn't it, for a quarterback?
Well, what you said is habits and changing habits, and I don't think you can look at a lack of activity as a lack of a plan. And what's New England always done? They've never been first week free agency, pay big money guys. That's not what they've done. They've never rushed to be the first in any place. If anything, Bill's strength, his greatest strength, is in that free agency world, is in that acquiring pro talent world. And so much is going to change. We've seen, who would have thought Carson Wentz would be traded or Jared Goff would be traded? You see the things that have changed already in this small window of time. Over the course of the draft, they could potentially get a quarterback there. You could see maybe Garoppolo moves. A lot of guys could still move. They're going to assess what comes available as opposed to rushing to make a decision just to make a decision. It's not how they're wired. And unless they believe it's a significant upgrade, why would they ever go get a guy just to get a guy?
So you think Garoppolo has not only been hurt three of the last 4 years, but he's been hurt in week two, week three, and week two, which tells you, it's one thing if Mahomes gets banged up after 15 weeks of play. If you're hurt by week two, three of the last 4 years, you're brittle. There's no other way to get around it. One time he got hurt without getting hit. So Garoppolo doesn't feel like a legitimate... I mean, Bill's not going to sign Garoppolo to a long contract.
No, look, I was just using Garoppolo as an example because of their relationship. And you remember when Garoppolo was there making that decision, you were in the New England should keep Garoppolo camp back in the day.
Yeah.
And that's actually worked, you know, worked out when they kept Tom. I didn't think Cam Newton would work. And they got Cam in what, June for basically nothing. And there's a fumble against Buffalo and there's a goal line play against Seattle. Otherwise that's a 9-7 decision. And you know, this is a team coming off 8 players opting out. They've now got salary cap room. They have assessed, you know, you're a year removed from the Tom Brady legacy. I think that things will look dramatically different, you know, at the start of the season this year versus where they were last year.
All right, here's another disagreement bomb. I think, Ben, first of all, Pittsburgh sold their soul a little with Ben. They've known for years he doesn't commit in the offseason. They know he's not great with film study. They know he's not always a great teammate with offensive stars. They know he can be dramatic when you draft a quarterback 4th round. They know, I've been told by people who I trust, that their audible system is incredibly remedial. And they've known this for years. And now they're trapped. Because they placated Ben time and time again, which is fine when he's in his athletic prime because he was such a unique and special player. Down the stretch, Eric, he was old and his lack of physical commitment was pretty obvious. He had 8 picks in the 4 games. He was terrible. I'm done. Like, I think they're trapped. You still like him.
Well, we're talking about young quarterbacks that haven't done anything and them being traded to teams. And if they get traded to those teams, those teams are suddenly going to go to the playoffs. The Steelers won the division last year. They were 12-4. He threw 33 touchdowns. They were dead last in running the football. In the final game of the season, you can kill Ben, but they asked him to throw the ball 68 times. When you think of Steelers football, you think of really good defense, a really physical and effective running game, and then Ben Roethlisberger. Why don't they commit to fixing the running game and see what Ben can do at that point? And the guy's, what's he at, 16, 18 seasons, whatever it is, he's had 2 losing seasons. Two. So we're talking about guys that have barely had any winning seasons going somewhere else. As opposed to keeping Ben, you could extend his contract out a year so to get the salary cap number down without giving him any new money, and you still have a chance to win. I think they're putting the blame in the wrong spot here.
All right, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that. I think he's an old man, and he looks. I am so over that.
Look, a lot of people thought Tom Brady was an old man when he had a poor game, you know, at the end of his last, you know, run in New England.
By the way, what did you make of that? Isn't that just amazing? How I swear to God, coach in week 8. I had Bruce Arians on yesterday, and I said, at week 8, there was so much turbulence. I'm like, this is a mess. And I asked him, I said, when did you guys kind of say to yourself privately, okay, this is working? And he said, the bye week, like week 12. Like, it took a lot. I am shocked by how good they were. You know what I'm shocked, Eric? How good the offensive line was in the last month. That was always been a middling offensive line. I thought they were a dominant unit at the end. What surprised you?
My greatest takeaway from that is they started to run the ball more, and they started to do things more in line with what Tom's always done over the last 20 years. They worked the tight ends more. They worked the inside part of the offense more. It looked like they were running things that I've always seen Tom run. And you heard the message from Bruce. They gave him more control. They gave him more leeway. And what do? You take advantage of the greatest asset you have is Tom's mind. And when he understands exactly what's taking place and the other guys understand it as well, I mean, he's going to go to the right place with the ball. That to me was the biggest difference is allowing him to just almost take over the offense. And then suddenly things transformed. It is amazing, though. It is and great. I love the story.
You know where I watched that game, Coach?
Where?
In a hospital bed.
That's not good.
I'm just on like a picture of American courage, Coach. You're looking at it right
you
here.
Are. Your bravery is inspiring. It's like Tom Brady, Colin Coward. Those I'm going to point those out to my boys for bravery and heroics.
Enough of you. All right, man, Genie. Enjoy Cleveland. It's snowing again today. Good talking to you.
Great to see you, Colin.
All right, good stuff.